Morning, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 22. We're doing a series entitled Victory in Troubling Times. And this message is going to be extra important today because I believe it's something that every person has dealt with and will deal with. Amen? But you know, it's an amazing thing how God took Israel through the wilderness. Everybody say through. I want you to notice that they didn't live there forever. It was just a period of time, and it should have been shorter, but they actually extended their time in the wilderness. Amen? And just like God took Israel through the wilderness, they faced challenges. They faced tests, they faced trials, but he took them through into the promised land. And just like God took the people through the wilderness, he's going to take us through our trials and our tests and our challenges that we face. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from the Israelites and from the different things that they faced. Now, we won't get to visit every place in the wilderness, but there's going to be a few places that we're going to visit and we're going to glean from. Amen? Now, last week, we went through the Red Sea. What a glorious deliverance and victory that God did for his people. They were faced with the Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptian army behind them, and they didn't know how they were going to get out. They didn't know how their circumstance was going to change, but thank God that someone had enough sense to pray. Amen? And when they prayed in the midst of trouble, God delivered them. And I want to give you some scriptures before we go into Exodus, just on how God has delivered us in trouble, all right? I gave you some last week, and I'm going to add to it this week. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. When is he going to hide you? In the time of trouble. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be above my enemies round me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 54, verses 1 through 7. It says, save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer. O God, give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of how much trouble? All trouble. And my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when? In trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. Listen, doesn't matter what's happening around you, you don't move. Yeah. Amen? Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me when? In the day of trouble, and what's he going to do? I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. These are promises that God will deliver you. He will strengthen you. He will help you in trouble. When you're in the midst of trouble, when trouble is around you on every side, when you're faced with challenges that are too insurmountable for you to overcome, God will be right there with you to help you because he always has a way out. There is nothing bigger than God. Amen? Amen? Now let's go to the book of Exodus and chapter 15. And we're going to go ahead and get with verse 22. You know, they just got done praising God for his victory in the Red Sea. They sang the song, "The Horse and the Rider Thrown into the Sea." You ever hear that song? "The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him." See, I can, that's why I'm not a praise and worship leader. I need to make that into a rap, you know, that's. And then 3 days, everybody say 3 days.
3 days.
3 days after their great victory, they now were going to experience disappointment. Is there anybody that has never experienced disappointment? Amen? Well, good. I'm in the right place and on the right crowd today. Amen? And on the right day. Well, how would you like to know how to overcome every disappointment? Amen? How to deal the death blow to every disappointment that will come its way. Let me tell you something. You will have opportunities to be disappointed again. Disappointment will come, but it's how you deal with it. It's how you respond in the midst of it. It's what you do in the face of it that's going to make the difference. That's going to determine whether or not you overcome it or it overcomes you. Okay? So in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Can you imagine after hiking for 3 days and not having a water? Not having any water, you're thirsty, you know? See, the wilderness was a barren place. There was no Burger Kings. There was no Weiss Markets, you know? And you have all these people, you have all their cattle, you have all their sheep, and it's a barren, dry, rough wilderness that they're going through. Now, God led them in the wilderness. Now, do you think God brought them out into the wilderness to fail? No, God did not bring them to fail. Let me tell you something. Just because you're facing a challenge in your life doesn't mean that you're a failure. That could mean that you're on the right track. Because without a challenge, how can God know what's really in your heart? See, if you read Deuteronomy 8, he brought them into the wilderness to prove them. To test them. Sometimes God wants to see what you're made of. Sometimes God wants to see if you really believe what you say you believe. If you really going to walk by faith or not. Amen? So the wilderness is really a test of your faith. So, can you imagine that after traveling for 3 days, the people would be dissatisfied, wouldn't they? They'd be discontented, wouldn't they? Okay? And now, verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now here, they found some water. For 3 days, they couldn't find any water, but now they found some water, and it wasn't sufficient to satisfy. Let me tell you something. When you run into something that doesn't satisfy you, be careful where you look for satisfaction. When you're not satisfied with what God has, what left is there to pursue? Oh, you could find satisfaction in the flesh temporarily. Sin is fun for a season. Okay? So, trouble comes when you're dissatisfied. If you feel a sense of dissatisfaction, be careful because you're about to experience some trouble. You're about to enter into a battle zone. And they could not drink the water because it was bitter. There was bitterness. The water was bitter. It tasted terrible. You couldn't drink it. It didn't satisfy your thirst. You know, I was at a camp one time. We were at a Boy Scout camp, And every faucet and every fountain of that camp, it smelled like rotten eggs. It tasted like rotten eggs because they had a lot of sulfur in the water. It was terrible. You couldn't drink the water. You couldn't cook with the water. It was terrible. You know, you had to get bottled water if you wanted something to drink. But these bitter waters, you know, have you ever encountered a bitter situation in your life? Have you ever encountered something that you know what? Bible says, don't let the root of bitterness spring up. Amen? You better deal with your bitterness. All right? So, verse 24, I want you to notice the people's response. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Good question, but it's the wrong question. Amen? Because they said it in disbelief. You got to understand, do you tell me that the God who opened up the Red Sea and caused 2 million people to walk on dry ground can't give you water? You just 3 days ago, you went through the Red Sea. 3 days ago, all of the officers of the Egyptian army died. 3 days ago, you had this tremendous victory. Now you're complaining? When you face lack, dissatisfaction, or disappointment, what do you do? What do you say? Who do you turn to? Everyone is tempted to fret, to murmur, or to distrust. Every one of us is going to face this. Every one of us will be tempted to, when we come against a situation that doesn't bring satisfaction, when we come against a situation that doesn't meet our needs, when we're experiencing trouble, what do you do? What do you say? Who do you turn to when you're experiencing trouble? Some of us cry. Some of us turn within. We don't want anybody else to help us. We try to help ourselves. Let me tell you something. You need help. We all need help. Our helper is the Lord. Our help comes from above. Because we're going to find out a little bit more about the situation as we go on. See, in the wilderness of our, in the wilderness of this world, our wants and disappointments and lack, they should drive us to the Creator, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Provider, the Father, the Lover, and the Faithful One. See, when you're in trouble, when you're facing difficult times, you have an option. A, trust in yourself. B, trust in others. Or C, trust in God. The answer is C. Turn to your neighbor and say, the answer is C. The answer is C. We have options. And how you respond in the midst of trouble will determine the results you experience. It is God's favor that we find true comfort and provision. So in distress, what is your response? Do you blame the people? Listen, I'm telling you, every one of us have been hurt by a person. Ultimately, Satan was using that person against you. What are you going to do now? Are you going to continue to blame that person? Or are you going to be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do? Amen? Listen, the more you magnify the hurt, the more hurt you'll be. The more you magnify the problem, the more confused you'll be. But the more you magnify the solution, the more clearer you'll see. Amen? The more God will bring answers to you. And so the people there were complaining because they didn't have anything to drink. And Moses, you know, Moses trained for 40 years for this thing. For 40 years, he was in the desert taking care of sheep. And you know, it's amazing, I found that when people take care of sheep, they get closer to God. It seemed like when David was taking care of the sheep, he knew how to handle giants. He was trained taking care of sheep to handle giants. And Moses, when he was taking care of sheep, he learned how to pray. He learned how to communicate with God. He learned how to hear from God. He learned that no matter what comes his way, he's going to turn his attention and turn his direction towards God because he knows that God will provide help. So what did Moses do in the face of people's complaining? He cried unto the Lord. Say, good job, Moses. So the Lord, the Lord gave him an answer. See, you've got to train yourself now that in every trial, you have got to practice casting your cares unto the Lord because he cares for you. And for people who are champion warriors, let me tell you something. I come from a family of champion warriors. They could have gotten the blue ribbon for worrying at the state fair. You've got to practice casting your cares unto Jesus. That means you got to take hands off. You got to trust God. You got to lean on God. You got to let God handle it. You got to train yourself now when trouble is not happening in your life. When you're experiencing peace, you got to train yourself now to turn to God. The best place to learn to do that is in a church. Amen. God established the church to do his work on the earth. Jesus is the head of the church. I'm telling you what, Jesus loves the church. Just like your head loves your body. Aren't you glad for the head that's on your body that regulates your heartbeat and helps you breathe? Amen? Well, that's how Jesus feels about his church. He's the head of the church. We're his body. Listen, God will help a submissive will, a peaceful conscience, and a trusting heart with the comfort, power, and strength of the Holy Spirit and the Word. Amen? In other words, God can take anything bitter that you've experienced in life and he can make it sweet. He can turn things around. When Moses prayed to God, God showed him a tree. There was a tree. He didn't see it before, but when he prayed, all of a sudden his eyes were opened and he saw something he never saw. You ever pray and all of a sudden you see something you never see or you hear something you've never heard before? Amen. God's trying to communicate with you. But sometimes he waits for you to talk to him first. Listen, he already made the move out of heaven. Amen. So, Moses did what the people neglected to do. He prayed, he looked to God, and God responded. So the Lord shows him this tree, and Moses took this tree, and he cast it into the waters. And all of a sudden, the waters were made sweet. But there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them. See, sometimes God wants to see if you're a man or woman of your word. So he'll allow you to go into situations where you'll be tempted to compromise. Tempted to be something you're not. Do something that you would never do. And you feel the pressure to compromise. Oh, if I don't compromise, then they won't be happy. No, but if you compromise, God won't be happy. I'm so grateful that Moses didn't compromise. He didn't join the people. Can you imagine having 2 million unbelievers telling you how thirsty they are? I'm telling you what, that put a lot of pressure on a leader. You're like, what am I going to do? Moses knew what to do. He knew how to pray. Is there anybody here that knows how to pray? If you know how to pray, you can get a way out of any trouble that you face. You can overcome any disappointment that you've ever faced in your life or will ever face in the name of Jesus. All it takes is a person that's willing to call upon God. The Bible said, call upon God and what? You shall be saved. You mean all I got to do is call upon God? Yes. Now, this tree was supernatural. I want you to go to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. I want to talk to you about the power of a tree. God can use a simple thing like a tree to make your life sweet and tolerable and pleasant. God can actually make the bitter experiences, the pain that you've experienced, the hurt that you've experienced, he actually can interject himself into that situation and heal you and make you whole. Where you have no ill effects of what happened to you. Many of you know that in 2008, I was hit by a car, a van actually. A friend of mine said, Doug, I would have never thought that between you and a van that you would win. You know, because anyway, I put a dent in the van. Anyway, I have absolutely no recollection of any pain associated with that event. The only thing I remember is waking up and looking at the sky and wondering, where are my shoes? But I have no recollection of the impact. I have no experience of the pain other than going to the hospital. But I have no recollection. Why? Because I believe that God kept me from that. I believe that in the midst of that, in the midst of that trouble, God helped me overcome. And God helped me that I wouldn't experience any ill effects. And to this day, I have no fear of crossing the road. Now, Gabriel might be a little bit concerned, but no, I have no fear of crossing a road. I don't think, oh my goodness, is the car going to hit me? That's not my thought at all. Because God helped me and he delivered me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on what? On a tree. He took our sins. He bore his sins on him and he hung them on a tree. What did this tree do? That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for a tree, we couldn't experience healing today. But God put Jesus on a tree, and today we can experience his healing. That by his stripes you are healed. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. I don't care if you're brain dead. I don't care if you're body dead. God, by his stripes you were healed. You were healed when Jesus got off that tree. You were healed when he gave up the ghost on that tree. You were healed when they took his body down from that tree. As far as God is concerned, when that tree occurred, he interjected the tree into this world, into this bitter world, into this sinful world, and he brought healing. He brought life. He brought deliverance. Let me tell you something. There's power in the tree. God was telling Moses that whenever you interject Christ into your situation, he can turn your circumstance around. So quit trying to interject your opinions and your feelings and your circumstances. And you can't change your circumstances with your circumstances. You can't change your circumstances with your feelings, because your feelings are like a roller coaster at Hershey Park, up and down and all around. Your feelings are too unstable to bring victory in your life. Now, God gave you the feelings. Your feelings are there to indicate that something's wrong. Your feelings are just like your gas gauge when it gets to E. You got to know that you got to put gas in the car, right? It's just a gauge. It's just a measuring stick. But you're not to be led by your feelings. You're not to be led by your emotions, and your feelings aren't leaders. But the Holy Spirit is a leader. God is a leader. And when you interject him into your life, he'll make your bitterness sweet. He'll turn your bitter situation around. He'll erase all the ill feelings that you experienced being disappointed. Now, I don't care if you were disappointed by a person or a place or a thing. You know what's disappointing? when you buy something electric and you put batteries in it, it doesn't work. And why do they sell electric things with batteries not included? What is the point of that? That's just a little side note. If you're going to sell something electric, you might as well have the power to run it. Every one of us have experienced disappointment. Every one of us has been hurt in some way, shape, or another. But I'm here today to tell you that you don't have to let that get the victory over you. You can get the victory over it. You can overcome disappointment. You can get victory in the face of disappointment. It's here today. Can you say amen? Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Why am I saying this? Because God showed Moses a tree. Why did he say a tree? Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Hangs on a tree. So Jesus hung on a tree, didn't he? That means he became a curse for us. Why did he do this? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what he did on a tree was he became a curse so that we can experience the blessing, so that we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can experience the goodness of God, so that we can experience the victory. He turned his curse to him to a victory for us. Because he put it on a tree. Amen. Amen? And you know, it wasn't by accident that I read Colossians 1:19 today, how he's made peace through God through the blood of his cross, which is what? A tree. We have peace because of what the tree did. Amen? You know, God uses the simple things to confound the wise. He'll use the base things of this world to confound those who are way up there somewhere. Amen? There's power in the tree. Revelation 2:7 says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There's a tree in the midst of the paradise of God. And every overcomer, one who overcomes disappointment, one who overcomes pain, one who overcomes hurt, one who overcomes trouble, you're going to get to eat of that fruit. We're going to get to partake of that tree that's in the midst of the paradise of God. It's in the midst of the garden of God. Well, it makes sense that if a tree caused a person to fall, then God will use a tree to give them the victory. God said you can eat anything out of all these trees. But this one tree, you leave that alone. If you eat of that tree, you're going to surely die. You have access to everything else. But this tree, if you eat of it, you're going to die. Now, you compare all these other trees. God provided everything they needed, everything they wanted, everything they desired, but all of a sudden they were lured to this one tree by false evidence, appearing real, fear, F-E-A-R. And Satan deceived them and they partook of this tree. What happened when they partook of that tree? They died. But you know what? Everything that we lost in from Satan, we gained in Christ. Christ is called the second Adam. He did what the first Adam couldn't do. He succeeded. He came as a man. God was a secret agent. He went undercover, deep cover. Almighty God came as a man. Satan didn't expect that God would become a man. But you know what? God did, because God said he gave man dominion on this earth. So God had to come as a man by his own word. Because God can't contradict himself. what God said he's going to do, and I don't care how much time it takes because he's eternal. Amen. They took him down. See, the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. Did you know that the cross is the power of God? It's where we were redeemed, we were rescued. It's where our ransom was paid, at the cross. Your ransom was paid. No longer can you be held kidnapped by the devil. Because once the ransom was paid, he couldn't touch you. If you choose not to let him. So here, let's go back to Exodus. Chapter 15. See, these stories in the Bible are true. The Bible is all true. And these stories are written for our examples, which means there's still things in the Old Testament that we can learn. Did Jesus come to do away with the Old Testament? No, he came to fulfill it. So if he fulfilled it, the Old Testament must have some value. Because why would you fulfill something that didn't have any value? Why don't you just scrap it and start something new? So there's still value. There's lessons that we can learn from how Israel was delivered in the wilderness. This was stop number two in the wilderness. They went from the Red Sea to here. Now, I visited Oklahoma. I lived in Oklahoma for 2 years. They had towns like Broken Bow and no water. And someone said, it's no wonder that those who were there before the settlers, they lost because they had broken bows and no water. Those are actual places, but you know what I'm saying. But God wanted to prove his people at Marah. He said it himself. He made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Well, how does God prove his people? He said, verse 29 or 26, this is a key and a pattern if you want to overcome disappointment every time. There are four things that you need to do. You need to listen, you need to do, you need to obey, and you need to keep. When you are facing disappointment, when you are facing trouble, you need to listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. So when disappointment times come, God wants to see if you're really listening. God's up there in heaven saying, can you hear me now? Or is the message that God is sending, is there interference? Maybe you got another voice trying to hijack your call. How many know your flesh has a voice? How many know that the opinions of others is a voice? How many know the devil has a voice? Well, one thing about the devil is he's a liar, so anything he says, do the opposite and you'll be okay. Listen, how are we to listen to God? Listen diligently. Hearken. Listen to the voice. You got to hear his voice. Why? Because his voice contains the instructions on how to get out of the trouble. If you miss God's voice, you'll stay in the trouble. When the Israelites first went into Canaan, they didn't hear God's voice. God said, I have given you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It is yours. He said, go in to possess it. But when they went in, they weren't listening because they got scared of giants. They got scared of circumstances. They were overwhelmed. And so 10 of them brought back a report that was different than what God said. And that 10 infected the millions with their negative report. You don't want to spend a whole lot of time around a negative person, because it will affect you. What goes in will come out. What you listen to will come out. So God brought them to Mara. You know, God's not up in heaven saying, I want to see what they do because they have no water. That's not his. But here, you got to listen to the Father's heart. What pleases God more than anything? Without this, you can't please God. Faith. Isn't it a father's desire to have his children please him? Doesn't God yearn? Doesn't natural fathers yearn for their children to please them? Some children have went astray because they've been trying to please the father and the father wasn't responding. You're trying to please the natural. Listen, try pleasing your heavenly father. If you please him, everything else will work out okay. You got to please him first. It's not that God brings you into trouble and saying, I want to see what they're going to do with this. He wants to see if you'll please him by operating in faith. That's all God wants. God's desperate desire is to be believed. He only wants people to believe him. Whosoever believes, I'll give you eternal life. But whosoever doesn't believe, you're condemned. They didn't listen diligently. When you're in the midst of trouble, you gotta tone out every other voice, and you need to listen to one voice, the voice of the Lord. What is God saying to me in this moment, in this hour? And it may require you to spend some time in prayer in order for you to hear his voice. The reason that Moses heard God so quickly, because Moses spent a lot of time with God praying. How many times did Moses pray in the wilderness before he went to see Pharaoh, before he said, let my people go? I'll tell you what, Moses walked into Pharaoh's court, prayed up. He knew how to hear the voice of God. He developed that when he was by himself. Sometimes you need to get into a secret place where you and God alone have to have a meeting. You have to have a get-together. It's called fellowship. And that should occur every day. And if you're not praying every day, change it right now. Make a decision. Say, I'm going to change. Don't be condemned. Okay, next thing he said. And will do. Notice and. He didn't say but. So not only do you got to listen to his voice, but you have to do what is right in his sight. You have to do God's will. This was the proof. He said, I'm proving them. He was proving them to see if you're going to do his will. You know what? God has given every one of us a choice. You don't have to do God's will. You could do whatever you want. But how many know that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death? Some of us know that, right? We chose the wrong thing, didn't we? We all made bad choices before Christ. But thank God you chose Christ. You made the right choice. You were spinning your wheels in clay, getting nowhere fast, and you called unto God, and all of a sudden he put you on a rock. You've got to listen diligently to his voice. You've got to do that which is right in his sight. Notice his sight. That means when no one else is looking. It's easy to hide things from people. And here's what Satan will do. When you're going through trouble, when you're facing disappointment, Satan will try to get you all by your lonesome. You know, I like to watch animal shows, lions. They go after the prey that's wandering from the the rest of the herd. Satan tries to get you by yourself, and he intimidates you with fear, pressure, and intimidation. And you're feeling all this. And you feel like you're the only person that's ever experienced this. You're the only person that's ever gone through this. Let me tell you something, you're not that special. You are not the only one that has ever experienced what you're experiencing. But Satan likes to get you by himself, by yourself. He likes to separate you. And then when he separates you, he's berating you. He's beating you. He's lambasting you. And now you even feel worse than what you did before. And he tries to convince you that other people think what he thinks. That's a lie. That's just a ploy to keep you by yourself. This is a time when you need to get with someone else. This is the time when you need to rise up and say, I'm going to Victory Christian Fellowship today, and I don't care what you say. Amen. Because that's part of the answer is doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Say, I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I'm sorry if you just came to hear today, but what you hear requires action. You know, people who hear the word of God and hear the word of God and sit there unchanged because they never do what they hear. You know, if you never do what you hear, then you take the devil's job. You deceive yourself. That's what James says. What else did God say? This is proving grounds. See, the trials of God's people, they're educatory, not punitive. That was one of the commentators. I don't talk that way. Listen, the trials that you face, they're an opportunity to learn and to grow. It's not punishment from God. God doesn't put you into hard places to punish you. God tells you straight up, hey, what you're doing is wrong. He told Adam and Eve straight up, if you eat of this, you're going to die. He didn't have to do anything else. How come he didn't come down to the garden and knock that fruit out of their hand? Because he already gave them his word. God doesn't have to do anything else but give you his word. If you don't trust God and his word, you're not going to trust him to do anything else. If you don't trust what God says, nothing else is going to matter. How about the rich man and Lazarus? Rich man was in hell because he never believed God. He had opportunity after opportunity to help people, but he never did. He was selfish. All he was concerned about was himself, and there was a beggar at his gate every day. He did nothing to help him. Both him and the beggar died. Now, the beggar went to Abraham's bosom because that was a place before Jesus was resurrected. Because Jesus had to be the firstborn from the dead. So the people who died before Jesus was resurrected, they went to a holding place called Abraham's bosom. Now, there's no such thing as purgatory. If you believe that, that's a false belief. I don't have time to go into that right now. But the rich man said, Father Abraham, he could see Abraham, he could talk to Abraham, but he couldn't get out from where he was. He said, why don't you send some people to my brothers? Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. No, if someone raised from the dead, he said, no, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe someone raising from the dead. Listen, if you don't believe the word of God today, you're making a choice to fail, and you're making a choice to hold on to your disappointment in the midst of trouble. What else did Moses say? Or what else did God say to Moses? Give ear to his commandments. Give ear. When you give ear, you're drawing close. Let's say Gabriel says something to me and I don't hear him. What am I going to do? Gabriel, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you over there. I draw close so that I could hear him. That's what it means to give ear. You didn't quite get the message, so you draw closer to God. You don't draw away from God. What'd you say? You know, like Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. What'd you say, Lord? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, Nineveh's over there. He heard what God said. He just didn't want to do what God said to do. Some of you are hearing what God's saying. You just don't want to do what God wants you to do. That's called rebellious. Do you realize in Numbers 14, it says, if you are afraid when God says not to be, then you're rebelling against what God says. Oh my goodness, what did I get myself into today? Listen, God can make you free and your obedience will keep you free. Amen? You've got to give ear to his commandments. You've got to keep all of his statutes. How many? All. God made it simple. He took the Ten Commandments and made them two. Now, you can't get any more simpler than that. Love God, love people. Say that with me. Say, I love God, and I love people. Now, if you're having problems, then you need to check your love for God, and then secondly, you need to check your love for people. Because if your love for God is okay, but your love for people is not, your faith isn't going to work. Because faith works by love. So if you're having a relational issue with some person, maybe it's a person in the past. Can I ask you a question? How many of you drive solely using your rearview mirror? Is there anybody here that, tell me where you're going to be so I'm not there. But you don't drive solely using your rearview mirror. Then why are you letting the past affect you now? The picture before you is much bigger. Your future is much better. Some of you are bound by your past. Well, there's not a better moment than today to get free of your past. The Bible tells me that if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are what? Passed away. When someone passes away, they can't say anything, they can't do anything anymore, can they? So it's time to let the past pass away. And it's time today to start a new day, to experience a new and fresh anointing, to get a bold release from that which binds you. Today is your day. That no more will you ever let disappointment take you down. You can get thrown, you're going to be like a bobber thrown into disappointment lake. Disappointment will try to sink you, but you'll just pop right up. In other words, disappointment can't hold you down longer than just a few seconds. You're like, okay, I thought about feeling bad and I changed my mind. I'm going to feel good. That's it. How did Jesus deal with criticism? They said, you cast out devils by the prince of devils. Jesus said, well, if I cast out devils by the prince of devils, he said, how do you cast them out? They'd be like, you know. Of course he didn't cast out devils by the prince of devils. He's a prince of peace. The devil's a troublemaker. And if you want to deal with trouble, the best way to deal with trouble is let the Prince of Peace handle it. Peace is greater than, God's peace is greater than trouble. But if you're looking to the trouble will become bigger. You got to change your focus from looking on the trouble to look to the peace. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When the people said, first of all, they murmured. That means they complained, they grumbled. And, you know, I've read where grumbling and murmuring doesn't really please God. Because when they did it before, when they did it at another time, he sent fiery serpents into the camp. So if your first response is to complain and grumble, you're wearing a spiritual diaper. You know what I mean by that? That means you have not developed. And you know what? When someone just comes to the Lord, it's understandable that they don't know how to fight battles. I don't expect Josiah. to know how to fight battles. There's going to be battles that I'm going to fight for him because of it, of where he is in life. He's a baby. Well, he's a toddler now. I mean, he climbs on the table. But there's things that I expect Gabriel to do more than Josiah, because Gabriel has grown and developed. And I don't have the same expectations for Gabriel as I do for Josiah, and vice versa, because they're at different levels. And we're all at different levels. But, you know, God wants to see what's in your heart. And this was from Adam Clark. By this murmuring of the people, he proved Moses to see, speaking after the manner of men, whether he would be faithful, and in the midst of trials to which he was likely to be exposed, whether he would continue to trust in the Lord and seek all his help from him. That's the question. Are you going to seek the Lord in the midst of your troubles, or what are you seeking? Amen? Do you start a phone chain and get 100 people talking about the problem? You know, you're just multiplying the problem when you do that. Just call God. You know, he's got a hotline into your heart. Amen? And what else did God say? He says, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So your healing is connected to your obedience. When you do all these things, he is revealing himself as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. I believe that there are people here today that need to be healed from disappointment. You let disappointment bring you down further than you needed to go. You're wearing disappointment as a weight. You're using it as an excuse to behave in a way that doesn't please God. Let me tell you something. Don't excuse your bad behavior. If you're behaving badly, you need to change your heart, because you got to deal with the root in order to change the fruit. You can't just put I'm not here to put a spiritual band-aid on your bad behavior. There's a reason why you're behaving badly. It's because of your heart. Your heart needs a change. You need Christ to come into your heart. The only way you're going to get a change is if we cast Christ into your heart like Moses cast the tree into the water. The only way the water changed was the tree had to get inside of it. The only way you're going to change is if you let Christ get inside of you. Amen? And notice verse 27. There's hope. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. 3 days after a great miracle, they faced disappointment. After your greatest victory, you can experience your greatest loss. Just look at Elijah. Killed the prophets of Baal, but then what? He ran when he got a letter from Jezebel. And he ran in the wrong direction. Because God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You wasn't supposed to be there. Amen? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? This is just the disappointment channel. This is only a test. Your belief in God will see you through this test. This is only a test. You know, did you notice that tests don't last forever? Eventually, tests come to an end. You either get them right or you get them wrong, right? But with God, if you fail the test, there's a retake. Amen? Aren't you glad that we have a retake with God? Take it from me. I failed the attitude test 3 times before I got it right. God wanted to promote me. God wanted to do something in my life, but my attitude was getting in the way of what God wanted to do. And finally, it takes a wife sometimes just to look at you and say, I am not going to be married to a man who has this kind of attitude. So when I heard that, I decided it's time to change. Say, God can speak through people. You know, sometimes what people say to you, you don't think it's God talking to you, but sometimes that is God talking to you. I mean, you got to take every situation by itself. Amen? So who wants to be healed of their disappointment today? There is some healing waters. You know, even in John 5, God would send an angel down to stir waters. And anyone who got in the water got healed. I'm going to stir up some waters today. Amen? And anyone who comes in these waters today, you are going to get healed. And you will never experience the ill effects of any disappointment in your life. God will wipe away all the pain, all the hurt, all the sorrow associated with your disappointment. And today, you're going to have the victory over your disappointments. Hallelujah. You were destined to experience victory over disappointment today. So, if you need to be healed from a disappointment, the waters are being stirred right now. Come and get in the waters. You know what? Daniel, if you can just come and play. Can you just play? We're just going to have that today. Because I think there's going to be anointing. Just play nice and soft. Whatever God puts on your heart to play, okay? Hallelujah. So I want you to come right now, all who need to be healed of disappointment, come and receive the healing that God wants to give. Now, I want to tell you something. God's interested in making you whole so that there's nothing missing, there's nothing broken. After today, there's not going to be a piece out of joint. There's not going to be a tendon loose. Everything's going to be connected in the name of Jesus. You're going to be healed today of disappointment, of sorrow, of letdowns. Maybe you trusted in the person, and maybe that person let you down. It's time to overcome that. It's time to let God heal your heart. If you're not saved today, you need to come up here and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. That's the best healing that you could ever get. If you don't know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, then you need to come up here today and you need to get to know Jesus as your Savior. If there's anybody here, Jesus is not your Lord, then you need to come. Today is your day. You get to meet with victory. His victory over me is love. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that the love of God is flowing right now. Lord, to every individual, you're stirring the waters. You're touching the hearts. Father, we're dealing the death blow to disappointment in the name of Jesus. No more will you be disappointed. No more will you experience ill effects. Listen, you're going to face disappointment, but you're going to know how to handle it better. Hallelujah. There's an anointing here to break things off of you in the name of Jesus.